everyone. Welcome to Circular Supply Chains, the podcast where we dive into the world of sustainability, logistics, and game-changing innovation. Today, we have an absolute powerhouse joining us, Abe Sterler-Crotty. Abe is the sustainability manager at Kühne+Nagel, an innovation catalyst who's leader in making supply chains greener, smarter, and more circular. We're talking real impact today. How companies can move beyond buzzwords and make sustainability actually work. Abe, so glad to have you here. Let's get into it.
Hello, Abe. We have a great pleasure today to have you on our podcast around circular supply chains together with Sven. And we'd like to start right into questions. You have a big track record with circular supply chains. Where do you see the major importance in that companies are getting aware and doing projects in circular supply chain and changing their way of doing business? How do you see that?
Yeah, first of all, thank you, Sven. Thank you, Markus, for having me here. It's my pleasure as well. I believe in this extended product responsibility concept for companies. They are the key actors of this transition from a linear to a circular supply chain model. I think we need to support them and engage them to become aware of the externalities related to their business to the full extent so that they can embark in the mission to create new products and services to reestablish the balance between what we take from the planet and what they give back.
Understood. And if you look at the topic of sustainability in the realm of circular supply chain, what do you see particularly be important in terms of sustainability there?
I see the need to look at a company's end-to-end network, meaning that I see there are dead ends. There are major, let's say, critical points where emissions are created, where processes have no clear ending in a circular loop that is then re-injecting goods flow into another flow. And this is a pity and a hurdle because every material that we are not able to recapture is losing not only its value, but also the potential to become something different into a different flow. So companies and logistics service providers should ask themselves, how do they serve their markets? But what happens when the consumer gets the actual goods in their hands? How responsibly this is consumed and how responsibly these materials can have a second life?
When you think about that, who should usually be the initiator of that? Is it certain players, certain stakeholders, or is to which extent is regulation required to get that forward?
Right. I see, unfortunately, yet mostly reactive behavior from companies and a too much exaggerated focus on the recycling activity. And recycling should be the latest option rather than the first option, so that we should even ask ourselves how are we using materials? Is that really true that plastics is bad and paper is good if you look at their own full life cycle? So I would recommend companies to consider their business as a closed loop. And I think there's a lot to do in this because I would say that a very small percentage of what goes out from a company comes back in general.
Yeah, I think recycling and the success of recycling is very much depending on what you produce at the origin, right? What you produce in the first place. And then this defines basically what can be recycled, to which extent and whatnot. So it basically is starting at the beginning, right? At production there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also I also find it very significant to consider that recycling is a sort of misleading the consumer to think that that way is the only one or the good one. Unfortunately, we should ask ourselves why that waste was created. And even then, this opens up the talk to digitalization of processes, to dematerialization of business models, going from product to service-based. And this, for me, is a unique opportunity to create prosperity for a company and to create prosperity even for the greater perspective of the mankind.
Yeah, it also gives a lot of business opportunities, I guess, right? When we say prosperities. You have a lot of experience in this whole topic, Abe. What are maybe examples you have seen which are already a little bit advanced, where you say other companies can take that as a good reference to look at?
Of course. In the logistics world, for example, I see this emerging need to transition technologically the topic of transportation. And the only way to get finally to this real transition would be to have synthetic fuels available. So fuels that are an answer to the need to cycle back the CO2 produced that is available in the air, to capture that and to recreate the original hydrocarbon with clean hydrogen. And there are a lot of initiatives in Europe that unfortunately are a little bit behind, because the needed investments have to be done now, since building such plans requires almost 5 years. And our need to transition is just getting closer and closer, because our time is really running out of the agenda and also out of the Fit for 55 targets for Europe.
Perfect. That sounds really great. Can you give an example of a business where you believe that has successfully implemented new technology to enhance circularity in their supply chain?
Yeah. I've seen a lot of cases. Of course, probably it's the industry that is easier to be converted. If you think about regenerative agriculture, regenerative production of wine. But eventually, if you look at the pharma and the medtech, there are companies that are even using bamboo, that is a plant that can grow in 6 months up to their adult life, and even engineered these materials even to be prosthetics products. So this, for me, is an example of how much we can learn from nature, because circularity is not a recent invention of mankind. Circularity is the basic rule where nature's...
The foundation of all,
Exactly. Nature develops and cycles back with no waste.
Yeah. And I mean, in logistics, we tried it all over the years to have collaboration as a foundation and to grow the business. But how important is it when it comes to a circular supply chain, the collaboration between the suppliers, manufacturers, and the consumers?
Indeed. We speak about responsible production. We speak about responsible consumption. We should also speak about responsible logistics. And of course, logistics and some words regarding this big environment we live in, as logistics enthusiasts, have become sort of abracadabra, for sure, during the pandemic. And the pandemic taught us a lot of things about the role that a logistics service provider can play when talking about balance. And an imbalance in a logistics network can completely put under shock any kind of production or consumption process.
Yeah.
And the pandemic just taught us so. So I think a logistics provider has, first of all, the responsibility to share expertise. I can tell you that one of the most exciting experiences I have every day when I go to work is talking to my colleagues in the different part of the companies when they serve different customers. And when I approach them and tell them, oh, have you ever thought about circularity in your day-by-day interaction with the customer? What is surprising is the amount of ideas they have just hidden in their pocket, and they just bring out all of this, and all of this is backed by their true and sound experience on the customer's business, but also in different industries. So we can really, create this spillover. And I believe this should go even outside the boundaries of the single logistics provider, because we have, I would say, it's a responsibility because you serve the whole mankind. And I also like the way you built your podcast in this perspective as a place where logistics enthusiasts share their passion that usually is a lifetime one.
Yeah, it is for sure. And it just crossed my mind when I listened to you that usually when you hear the new gold is data. But when I listen to you now, it crossed my mind, maybe the new gold mine is the recycling. So that in the past, in logistics, when you talked about logistics, the returns, everyone was like, oh, goodness, yeah? How should we do that, yeah? But when it comes now that you get all the stuff back, you take out certain parts, you recycle, you sort, you do all that stuff, you have the gold in your hand mainly when you talk about recycling of cell phones and this kind of stuff. And that leads me to the question, the partnerships we have now between all the different parties, yeah? That is the key to a circular supply chain, I believe, or?
Yeah, there's a lot of value that is lost in our current take, make, waste model. And this value is, is a sin of our current economic model, I would say. I think we should, become more and more aware of that. And I think companies are getting to that also because regulation are pushing them to do that. We know that a lot of new directives are coming into force this year. And there is one that is coming into force in the next year, the CSDDD. Maybe you heard about that. And one of the major points of the directive in Europe will be the need to assess every single piece of the supply chain and a report about value creation. So this, for me, is not only a regulatory, a compliance requirement. To me, this is an exercise to have a conscious approach to doing business.
When you look at the different industries, the different product industries, and of course, I mean services, where do you see the biggest potential? I read in a report the other day, or an article where it said transactions or revenue from transactions around circular supply chain will double from 2022 till 2026 from a huge number like 340 billion up to 720 billion. And what is your experience? Where is the biggest opportunity for which industries to maybe create new business models and realize those revenue growths?
I see this as an endless opportunity, as you described it. And this is incredibly positive and I would say encouraging for entrepreneurs, even for young people wishing to start their own business. What is still a struggle for me, for big companies, is looking at sustainability as an add-on. So when you think about an add-on, it's always something that goes on top of your investment plan. It's not something that you embed from the beginning. And in this perspective, companies are a little bit reluctant, especially in this current moment of, flat growth globally. The initiatives are taken mostly by the businesses that can, let me say, afford it because of the high marginality of their products. So you see the pharma, you see the high tech, you see this kind of markets where also the consumer is more willing to pay or to receive an extra or an increase in price because the company is investing in such initiatives. But this has sort of a timeline in the perspective that it's the whole process that needs to be addressed, and not only an upstream or a downstream transportation that in the end have their final date, because the delivery date is the final date. What happens afterwards oftentimes is not yet in the horizon for companies. They are already fine with getting to the final delivery evaluation. Then this is the next step, and asking them what happens then.
I mean, when you say that, it sounds like there will be probably a different evolutionary steps from seeing that more as a cost burden, something which is more forced by regulation now to do something, right? It costs money, but probably the companies who can afford it, just as you described, probably are the early movers. But maybe in the next evolution in phase or next or over next, there will be also companies see opportunity to create new business models around, right? When you think about that, what especially when we think about digital business models or digital supply chain models, do you have examples where we say this are potential new digital business models coming from circular or built up on circular supply chain models already today?
I have a very small story from a customer in South America. And she was looking for a tool that could help her report to their corporate how many sheets of paper she was avoiding to print because of the digitalization of the processes that my company provided to her. And I remember she was using this nice word, depaperization, a little bit a mix between Italian and South American. I really like that because she was really willing to show how much that little step was causing a disruptive effect. And what I see out of digital is the fact that this can provide tools and insights to CEOs to act responsibly. Acting responsibly is bringing a benefit not only in terms of profitability, but also is creating this balanced supply chain that is already avoiding a lot of waste. This, unfortunately, as logistics service provider, we know oftentimes we accept because in order to serve the market, we often go even beyond the boundaries, beyond the standard consumption, even for packaging. And this is anytime it's a loss. Or you have to manage urgency and you maybe select services that are even less polluting. There are all of these topics that I would love to address. And one of my main thoughts when I have some free time is thinking about the final deliveries. Because usually these big companies, they look at the massive flows, there's the big flows, cargo flows. But then when the container gets to their warehouse, seems that everything is over. The point is that then the final delivery is beginning. And sometimes what this final delivery creates as an environmental impact, it eats up all the benefit that the company created in the past steps.
Yeah.
Would that be also your kind of a magic wish for the supply chain, where to improve the sustainability in the supply chain?
Yes, this is sort of, in my opinion, sort of digital solution, because there is a this is maybe a nice story. When I go out to have my runs in the morning before starting to work, I'm the only one in my small village. And when I'm running, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lorries delivering maybe 10 to 15 parcels in a small village, but it's 6 lorries for 15 parcels. This is already...
Something is wrong,
it's making me think, are we doing that?
Yeah.
Why are we doing that? Of course, I see the service. We all see the benefit.
Yeah.
But we don't see the externality. We just see our parcel, our article in our hand. But then we should a little bit be educated to look at the externality for us and for our neighborhood, for example.
Yeah. Do you see that in the future, as I work in the robotics industry, do you see that in the future we will have autonomous driving to deliver the stuff and maybe robots bringing the parcels in the future?
Wow, I would love so.
Like we talk all about humanoids and stuff like that. And maybe in the future there's an autonomous car with a humanoid on the back and then just carrying the parcel over there.
Yeah, fully secured, maybe with the energy produced on the on the roof of the vehicle. That would be perfect, maybe with the dedicated lanes so that they are not hurting anyone.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was even more than 15 years ago, I've seen something like that in the automotive industry in Japan.
Mm.
There were robots that were supporting the assembly of cars and vehicles, and they were acting alone. So this is not something that pops up now. Probably we can think about that and rethink a service, of course.
And when we move now to the topic, like, what trends do you see and anticipate to shape the future of circular supply chains?
First of all, I see the need to rethink the material choice. Very, very short example. Think about the little container that you find in a supermarket holding your nice fruits. Is the container as tool, as a means to transport your goods home? You need your greens home, you need it. But unfortunately, we have to look at the material that often is selected, that is plastic. Plastic is not a single-use material. It's a multiple-use material. First of all, I would say the opportunity in the full review of the material choice. Then, of course, I would say the dematerialization of the product. I select the right material for one product, then I ask myself, do I need all of that material? And then we go ahead and look at the entire process. From this perspective, do we need all of those materials? Do we need all of those steps? Yeah.
I think the materials is a huge impact. And you mentioned at the beginning, right? We rather look at the recycling. So we start from the back and try to make our ways forward. And apparently changing materials and finding alternatives is one of the major challenges because it impacts the entire supply chain, right? Who are the suppliers? What can they do, right? And you have to go very, very much vertical there. When you think about companies who are just starting now to do initiatives in circular supply chain, what is your recommendation to them? What would you suggest how to start, how to get started?
I often have workshops with customers. And when we organize the agenda, I ask them, they ask me, who could be the person that has to be in the room. And then we start talking and then we discover that all the company should be in the room because everyone can bring something on the table. And I believe in the strong potential of the inner competence of a company. I believe there is so much a knowledge that is not organized, maybe not repurposed to this kind of challenge. So the company needs to take their commitment. And I believe that talking to every single person in the company can bring a lot of insights unknown, especially to the management.
That is an interesting point, yeah, that you take everyone on board and bring them all together. Especially in workshops with you as an expert. But like, how do you find new ideas, new information? Because we are all learning now. Yeah, it's all developing. And of course, there's no godfather, godmother, or someone like that who knows everything in the circularity world. But how do you find new ideas, new stuff, inspirations?
Actually, of course, we have a lot of free resources available, even though we are not, let's say, I'm lucky because I work for one of the biggest service providers in the world. And of course, we have our structure, dedicated colleagues that even come from the research industry, from the universities where they deployed actual studies on fuels, on logistics, optimization, and so on and so forth. But when I want to a little bit go beyond, I would suggest that we, let's say, open up our vision to different domains, to different cultures, and try to apply that to our own. I can tell you, when I speak to my colleagues in different regions of the world, they maybe are filled by the same information that I have, but when you go to customers, the reaction, the feedback we get is totally different. And I learn a lot from their experience, from the concerns that are raised from other players, or even when we confront ourselves with the consultants of these companies. And sometimes there are even little fights, and the conversation gets a little bit spicy. This is even giving me the chance to go back with my question marks and discuss and challenge my colleagues.
Yeah, it sounds like the bringing people together and creating ideas is also here one of the major drivers for the future, right? For prosperity future. Talking about the future, and that's also coming to the end, Ave, and thank you so much for all your input. To the last question, where do you see the evolution in the next 5 to 10 years? That's probably a long time frame, but what do you have in mind? What do you see based on the conversations you have with all the people?
I see the big opportunity for early adopters to go for disruptive innovation in sustainability, this for sure. And I see companies being left behind. And this is the let's say, the perspective that is for sure neglected by whom doesn't see that. So also my mission is to go to my customers or to my stakeholders and share. One thing that is very important is not to take a short-term perspective. We need really to tell the customer that sustainability is not a sales topic. It's a relationship topic. And from this perspective, not all companies are yet willing to discuss. We are on a good direction.
Yeah, so it's really cool. I really like your passion and your initiative there, and your drive of bringing people together and creating ideas which we all need for the future there. Ave, thank you so much for your great input. It was really a pleasure. You have a lot of experience, a lot of great ideas, very much we believe there will be a lot of updates in the near future on your side. So we would definitely like to do a at some point a second session with you and see what your experience were in the coming months. So yeah, thank you again and all the best for your initiatives.
Thank you, Abe.
Thank you. And I look forward to our next meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All the best. Ciao.